And welcome everybody to Pick and Slip. I'm Gavin Miller here with
Braden Pittman
on this wonderful Thursday afternoon. And a lot has happened since we have last had this show. And I mean, a lot has happened.
It's been a minute.
Like, we have so much to talk about. And we're going to go ahead and start off with, I'm sure you guys have heard, the blockbuster trade, yeah, including James Harden, obviously going to the Nets. It was a four-team deal.
Yeah. So, Rockets honestly made out like bandits. They pulled quite a bit for James Harden. Mm-hmm. I believe it was 8 unprotected first or second round picks. A lot of them were firsts. They also pulled Victor Oladipo, unfortunately, for Pacers fans. And they got Dante Exum from the Cavs. I believe that was it. Rockets receive... Hold on. Why does it say that they got Caris LeVert? Hold on. This is the wrong... This has to be the wrong
thing. Yes, I'm pretty sure it's the wrong thing. Caris LeVert ended up getting traded to the Pacers, if you guys did not know. So, of course, Caris LeVert is going to come in and take the role that Vic had on the Pacers. It's kind of sad to see Victor Oladipo go, but at the same time, I do think Caris LeVert is a better offensive player than Victor Oladipo, and Vic's a better defender, and then you have Caris LeVert, who's a really good facilitator that can play a primary position, obviously, as a shooting guard, can go into that small forward and perhaps maybe a point guard role behind Malcolm Brogdon, be a secondary ball handler for the Pacers.
Okay, so I figured it out now. So it was the Nets get James Harden from the Rockets and the 2024 second round pick from the Cavs. The Nets traded away Jared Allen, Torian Prince, and the rights to Alexander Vezenkov, who is a European player who was still under rights since he got drafted in 2017. They all went to the Cavs. Then Caris LeVert, Radonis Kukris, and 3 first-round picks and 4 first-round pick swaps went to the Rockets. The Rockets got Caris LeVert, all those picks and stuff, and Dante Exum from the Cavs. And the Rockets gave away James Harden to the Nets. And then the Cavs got Jared Allen, Torian Prince, and the rights to Alexander Vekinkov. They gave away Dante Exum, 2022 first-round pick from Milwaukee, and a 2024 second-round pick, which went to Brooklyn. And then, after that, was the one-for-one Caris LeVert for Victor Oladipo trade.
Yeah.
So, I think also the Pacers gave away a second-round pick, something like that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe we received... I don't know. Whatever it is, big story for Indiana fans, Caris LeVert for Victor Oladipo. And I was having trouble really getting behind this trade last night when it happened. I text Gavin about it for a little bit. I was like, this really, I don't like this too much.
Yeah.
So here's what I'll say. He does not start NBA games very often. He comes off the bench a lot. He has never played a full season. In 2018 was the closest he came when he missed 10 games. Other than that, the second highest is 57 games. So he's injury prone to an extent, you could say. He's an average 3-point shooter. I would say that he's probably at just a clip below Victor Oladipo from what I've seen. He is, I believe, like 2 years younger, a year younger maybe. He averages almost the same stats, points, assists, and rebounds-wise. Pretty close to the same. He has a few more assists, like 2 more assists. But I do think Victor Oladipo's a better defender. Gavin, what do you think overall of this trade? Who, just straight Rockets and Pacers, who gets better?
I don't really know who gets better just off that one for one. I feel like the Rockets have to get worse because they don't have Harden anymore, but also do they get a little bit better because they got rid of Harden and all of that drama that was surrounding them? I don't really know. I don't really think the one for one is going to make either team that much better, honestly, because if you're the Rockets, you're getting Victor Oladipo, right?
Right.
But you have Victor Oladipo filling the role that had previously had James Harden in it.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, that's... I'm not too sure about the Rockets winning the
Rockets
overall.
Got the all injury team. They got DeMarcus Cousins, John Wall, and Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, like I don't like. I mean, the Christian Wood. Like the Rockets team isn't bad.
Here's what I'll say: is that this is going to be a bold take that not very many people are going to agree with me on. But I think by the end of this season, if there's a playoff series between the Rockets and the Nets, I'm taking the Rockets.
Taking the Rockets, like if they met in the finals.
I'm taking a healthy John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, and Victor Oladipo.
So, like, you're taking a healthy John Wall.
They have
John Wall's been really good, actually.
Yeah.
DeMarcus
they have some
Cousins
on that Rockets team.
Yeah, DeMarcus Cousins doesn't even start. Christian Wood, who's been playing
incredible,
yeah, like
all-star level, yeah. Most improved player.
Christian Wood's been playing very, very, very good, and then Victor Oladipo, who. I mean, Victor Oladipo, here's the only problem I had with Victor Oladipo. Maybe it was just me being very, very, very unlucky. But anytime I watched Victor Oladipo play, it was like he always had a bad game whenever I watched him. Now not to say that, like, you know, it happens with every single time I watch something sports-related. Anytime I go cheer for a team and go downstairs, they magically go on a 10-0 run or go down on a 10-0 run. Like, happens all the time. I'm used to it. But so maybe it's just me, but, like, I don't know. I don't know if you guys have seen Caris LeVert's, like, last five games. He's dropped a 48-piece and multiple, like, 23, 24, 25.
He's been on fire as of late with Kyrie Irving's absence. He's been starting in his place, I believe. But Victor Oladipo has some consistency issues. That's for sure. You can definitely say that confidently. That he'll go off one night, drop a 35-piece, and hit the game winner. And then the next night have like a silent 12-1 game.
Yeah, and I feel like I see that a lot from Victor Oladipo. Caris LeVert earlier in the season, I had like three straight games where he dropped like 6 points, 8 points, and like 9 points or something like that. But then ever since then, he's 20, 20, 20, 48, 20, you know.
Yeah.
And the games before that, he's right now Caris LeVert is averaging, I think, around 18. I think maybe like around up to 19 points a game.
I almost feel like we got the same player.
That's why it's so hard for me to tell who won the trade, because I feel like both Caris LeVert and Victor Oladipo are both very similar players.
If you don't know Caris LeVert, but you do know Victor Oladipo, I will say Caris LeVert, similar proportions to Victor Oladipo, similar play style. He's a bit less athletic and a bit of a worse defender than Victor Oladipo, but he makes up for that with smart passing. He's a really good passer.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to cut inside and then whip the ball around to either his corner shooters or to somebody driving in. He's really good at that. I would say, out of what I've seen this season and last, probably one of the better players in the league at doing that. I would say probably top 15 or 20 players in the league at really getting assists off of those drives. I almost said up there with LeBron, but LeBron's number one. He's really good at that. He's a really good facilitator. I think that He's also a willing shooter. He's not going to mess up our spacing at all, since we have to have Domas and Miles Turner both down on the block a lot of the time. I think that overall, this will not change our trajectory too much, besides the fact that it might mess with chemistry a bit.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't think it's a trade that's going to make the Pacers significantly better, nor do I think it's a trade that's going to make the Pacers significantly worse. I think maybe after the trade we might see a little bit less defense. Defense may not be as strong, but then again, I mean, you still have Sabonis, you still have Miles Turner, who's a great defender. Caris LeVert is a very, very good offensive player, and as you said, very good at finding open teammates, you know, driving teammates, getting assists for the team. So I don't know. I think over time we'll see who won the trade. I don't think you can say who won the trade right away.
I think Caris LeVert. You hear floor raisers a lot, people that make your team a playoff team or whatever. I think Caris LeVert is a ceiling raiser. I think he's the type of player that takes your team from, oh, this is a good team, and then you just get that slight bump. He's not a great defender, but he's like, oh, he's a fine. I'm not trying to say that he's a bad defender. He is, I would say, an above-average defender, but just in comparison to Victor Oladipo, Victor Oladipo is an all-NBA-level defender. He locks up opposing guards a lot of the time. He's really good at playing defense. And so Caris LeVert, still a really good defender. He averages over a steal. His opponent field goal percentage is not that high. He's a really good defender. He's just not Victor Oladipo. But I do think that he kind of adds those, just like he hits his open shots. He adds a little bit more scoring on your offense as just by his scoring and then also with his playmaking ability. I think that he does, again, he is a ceiling raiser.
Yeah, and the other thing is the consistency. Is Caris LeVert more consistent than Victor Oladipo? Like,
I will say that I have not in the last 2 years watched. Oh, also, the Indiana Pacers drafted Caris LeVert like three seasons. I think it's like five seasons ago now, but then traded them away. So he never put on the Pacers uniform. But there's pictures of him with like the Pacers hat and stuff, which I think is funny. But I'm not sure if he's more consistent or not. Haven't watched enough Caris LeVert to know that or not.
Yeah, and I mean, here's Victor Oladipo's stats going back from December 26th to January 12th. Here's his stats going from that time. So we have 22 points in his first game.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure, or around that time. Then we go on to, he dropped 0 points the next game. He didn't play, I don't think.
He has a lot. He doesn't play back to backs.
Yeah,
which is kind of an issue. Well,
right here, he plays a stretch, but then he missed the game against Golden State.
Yeah.
So here we have 22 points. I'm just gonna go points. 22 points, 0 points, 24. 16, 16, 25, then 18 and 16, then 21, then 0.
Yeah, he fluctuates between 15 and 25, which really, like, it makes him have the average of 20 points per game.
Yeah. But
you don't know if that average is what you're really going to average on a game-to-game basis, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and he's averaging 20 points on the dot. Here's the only other problem I have. Victor Oladipo shoots 42% from the field.
Yeah.
If you look at him, he...
Do you know his effective field goal percentage?
No, it's not on here. I'd have to actually go to a...
Hold on, let me pull that up.
Basketball reference. But I'm just going right here. 10 for 18. So he goes 8 for 12, then doesn't play the next game. 10 for 18, pretty good. Then he goes 5 for 14,
yeah.
3 for 16, yeah. 8 for 17, 6 for 20, 7 for 21, 8 for 20. And then doesn't play the next game. And none of these games does he get... He gets 8 assists, is as high in going along where he dropped 16 points, 8 assists, 9 rebounds is his highest. None of these games did he drop a double-double or anything. Like, I mean, and I'm not saying I expect like a double-double from Victor Oladipo every single game. I'm not saying that. Right. But when you go on that long stretch where you're shooting, 3 for 16, 7 for 21, yeah, 8 for 20.
If you're not shooting good, at least get your rebounds.
I mean, like, and I'm sure, obviously, as Braden said, Victor Oladipo is a great defender. So I'm sure defensively in those games, he played very well, assuming he did. But at the same time, I mean, those long stretches of games where you shoot very, very, very poorly definitely hurts the team a lot.
Yeah.
And I mean, the question is, will Caris LeVert have the same stretch of games shooting as poorly as Vic did in those games?
So the way that I'm looking at it right now, it looks like Victor Oladipo's 2018-19 injury shortened season, where he still ended up being an all-star. He had a knee injury right about the all-star break. It looks like Caris LeVert is averaging almost those exact same numbers.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I will say Victor Oladipo, 40% free throw three-point shooter. And he has been for most of his career. Caris LeVert hovers more around that 33 to 35% mark, which hopefully that's either something that Coach Nate can work on a little bit more, try to get him making more threes, or that he will just be making better shot selection.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope you guys have had your fill of Pacers content, because let's just real quick. Gavin, do you mind if we go over the standings real quick before we get back into that trade and the implications of James Harden moving to Brooklyn? If we just go over the... I'm going to go over the standings real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's just talk about the Pacers' overall season.
All right,
because we know people love the Pacers.
Yeah.
So, in the Eastern Conference, the one seed is Boston. They are 7-3. Milwaukee is at number 2, 8-4. Philadelphia at 3. Indiana at 4. We are 7-4 right now. Orlando is at 5. That shouldn't last too long. Brooklyn is at 6. Charlotte is at 7. And Atlanta is at 8. Charlotte's probably going to drop to relatively soon. Miami's at 9. New York's at 10 after they went on a hot streak to start the season. They started like 4-2. Cleveland's at 11. Chicago at 12. Washington at 13. Toronto at 14. And Detroit at 15. I would like to highlight Toronto a little later just because things have been bad there.
Yeah.
And in the West, LA teams are at 1-2, Lakers and Clippers respectively. Utah's at 3, Phoenix is at 4, Portland's at 5, Dallas is at 6, Golden State at 7. Finally back in the playoff picture after a bad last season. The Spurs at 8, which shocked me. Nuggets are at 9, Grizzlies are at 10, OKC at 11, Sacramento at 12, Pelicans at 13, Houston at 14, and Minnesota still at 15. It seems like they never get more than the 15 seed. How many number one picks can a franchise have in 15 years? The Timberwolves are trying to figure that out. So that's just a basic rundown of the standings. What teams are surprising you right now?
What teams are surprising me right now? Well, there are quite a few teams that are surprising me, but not in the way that you think.
Surprising you in a good way?
Okay.
There's a lot of surprises on both ends of that list for me.
There's quite a few surprises on the bad side. But on the good side, I guess the Spurs, they're the A seed.
Yeah,
but did not expect the Spurs to be in the playoff picture.
I like seeing the Spurs do good.
And I definitely thought that the Nuggets would be taking at least the A seed.
Yeah, the Nuggets are supposed to be a 3 seed.
Yeah, that's
what are you doing?
On the East, and on the East though, definitely the Hornets. Seeing the Hornets at 6-6, Hornets last season were terrible. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Hornets were not good last season. They draft LaMelo Ball with the 3rd overall pick, behind James Wiseman, who went second overall to the Warriors, and then Anthony Edwards, who went first to the Timberwolves. Drafting LaMelo Ball, now looking, 6-6, 500 on the season, obviously.
They grabbed Gordon Hayward, who's been playing pretty good so far, which also, I'm hesitant to say that the Hornets have been playing good just because it's the Hornets, and I feel like everything I say about them comes back to bite me. But really is surprising seeing Charlotte up there. Also, Orlando in the Eastern Conference being 6-5 is funny to me. Pacers are 7-4, holding the 4 seed right now. Every time I see Pacers, every time I say Pacers, then my phone thinks I said, "Hey Siri," for some reason. Oh, there we go. So, Indiana, 7-4 right now. Have you been able to watch a lot of Pacers games?
No, I haven't. It's because I'm pretty sure what the NBA is doing is they have I can't remember exactly what it is. You have to buy something in order to watch a lot of the games. Like, you can't just go on. Like, they took them off of the channels that they used to show all the NBA games on, stuff.
Like TNT and stuff.
Yeah, they took them off there. And you got to buy some sort of package or something like that. And that's how you watch all the NBA games. And that includes, if you're from Indiana, obviously watching the Indiana Pacers, you can't just go on TNT and watch the Indiana Pacers and buy some package.
It's been funky. Different cable packages. Yeah. Been doing funny stuff with that. I've been able to watch a good amount of Pacers games. We've had 11 so far. I think I've managed to watch 7 or 8 of them. And all I'll say is that it's last year's team, pretty much. If you watched Pacers basketball last year, it's the same team this year, but Edmund Sumner gets more minutes, and because TJ Warren is injured, I didn't like that they had Aaron Holiday at the 3 for a while, and they finally put Justin Holiday at the 3, and I liked it significantly better. That's how we beat the Warriors, and without Vic, too. So that was a pretty good win against the Warriors, who started off the season pretty rough, got Draymond back, and then got revitalized. But we will get into all of that after we finish this James Harden trade discussion. The Nets, big 3, probably the biggest 3 in any sport right now. I think rivals Kansas City, what they've got going on with Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, and Tyreek Hill. I think you're also seeing that in Brooklyn right now.
Yeah.
Just incredible offensive weapons with a very bad defense. I think
yeah.
The analogy continues, and they're both not winning a ring this year.
Whoa.
But, yeah, I mean, so I'll just start. Hey, Gavin, I'll let you be optimistic. How's this going to be good? How's this going to be good for the Nets?
All right, how's this going to be good for the Nets? You know, because there's plenty of ways it can be terrible.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways this could go wrong.
But one way it could be great is, here's how it's going to work. You have James Harden. Yeah, he's pretty good at basketball.
Yeah, I would say
you know,
one of the better players in the world.
He's good at basketball.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving, who's also pretty good at basketball, you know, when he plays. Yeah, uh-huh. when Kyrie Irving plays basketball, he's pretty good at the sport.
I do want to talk about the Kyrie situation soon.
Yeah, and then you have Kevin Durant. Kevin Durantula.
Yeah.
That guy is very good at the game of basketball.
Yeah, he's, I would say, ooh, am I willing to say that?
KD is almost averaging 30 points a game, by the way.
All right, I'll say it. In my top 10 of people that are best at basketball of all time, KD's in there.
Top 10 players of all time?
Best. Not resume-wise, but best players.
Just best players? Okay.
As far as skill goes, if there's a competition where every player has to play each other one-on-one, KD's going to be in the top 10 on that.
And
KD might be top one.
And I mean, KD right now averaging, I think, 29 points something. It's over 29.5, so basically right up to 30 points a game.
He's Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Come on.
I think that you still have DeAndre Jordan's going to grab 10-plus boards a game, just like he has. I think defensively, that's where a lot of the problems lie.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that's so much firepower on offense. I mean, some people will argue it's too much firepower on offense because you have multiple players that can score 30-plus points. Two players that basically do average 30-plus points. So you may argue it's too much firepower and the ball will not be able to be distributed as much as it, you know, as much as players are used to, or should I say, the ball won't be distributed between those players and the players won't be used to having the ball less because, James Harden on the Rockets had the ball 24/7. KD has always had the ball 24/7 in any team he's played for, and Kyrie usually always has the ball as well. And there's only one basketball, and there's three players that are used to having the basketball in their hands 24/7. But, like I said, that's so much firepower on offense that if the Nets can find a way to work with those three players and maybe have James Harden be an off-ball player a little bit, obviously still be a ball handler, because he's James Harden, and not all three players are going to be on the court at the same time 24/7, you know?
Okay, so here's my idea. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is about to be revolutionary. James Harden, sixth man.
Sixth man of the year, part two, basically?
James Harden, sixth man.
And the thing is, would James Harden want to be a sixth man?
If he wants a ring, he will be.
Yeah.
If he wants a ring, he'll come off the bench.
We're looking at it right here. Or maybe a Kyrie, sixth man, run James Harden at the point guard. You don't think that would work?
Kyrie's not coming off the bench.
You don't think he will?
Kyrie would.
But there's the thing. I don't think I can see a way that James Harden's going to come off the bench.
I don't think it's realistic, but I think that if they want a real shot at winning a ring, they trade. Like, if Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving cared about anything except for having a good time, which honestly, I'm not sure that they do, they would say, you know what, DeAndre Jordan, you've been good to us. You're a good friend. We're trading you for a wing defender. And then they're going to put James Harden on the bench because you don't need anybody else on your bench when you have James Harden. Who cares about defense? You have James Harden who's going to drop 30 off your bench. You let KD and Kyrie run the offense. KD can play off ball. He's shown that next to Steph Curry. Kyrie can play next to a star. He's shown that next to LeBron. James Harden has not shown that he can win a ring. He has had just as many years in the league as these two, actually less so than Kyrie. And Kyrie has a ring. Kyrie has been to the finals like a dozen times, it seems like, against the Warriors. Now, again, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that what realistically is going to happen to this team is that they will play good for a month. Kyrie's about to come back, and we're going to get into the Kyrie stuff in a second. Kyrie's going to come back. They're going to play good for a month or two. And then there's going to be rumors by the media that, like, Kyrie Irving called James Harden fat. Which also, James Harden, my goodness, looking like me out there. Hey, he's looking rough.
I see every single time I see something about James Harden. It's always, you know, James Harden has a little bit of a stomach on him.
I mean, it's the only thing I can notice. He looks bad.
Like, every single time I see James Harden, that's one of the very first, that's one of the first things I hear. I know it's
the first everyone thing hears I see. That.
I know everyone hears it about James Harden. I know there's no way you seen or just looked at James Harden and you don't see anything about that, because every single time I see something about James Harden, that's what it is.
Like, you're an NBA player. But anyway, so I think that they're going to play good for a month. There's going to be all sorts of media rumors about the things in the locker room haven't been as good as they seem. Oh, no. And then come playoffs, they're going to beat the first two teams. And then in the conference finals, they're going to lose to a team that's had their stuff together the entire season. And then James Harden's going to request a trade.
And that's how you're saying, you know, the Nets, yeah, they might play good for a month, and it's just going to crumble, and it's not going to work.
Yeah, I don't think those egos are going to work out.
That's another thing that could be very bad if the players cannot find their egos. I don't think KD will have too much of an ego problem. I think it's more between James Harden and Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
I
think it's mostly also because Kevin Durant has, first of all, okay, so let's start with this. He made a bad decision leaving the Warriors for the Nets. I'm just going to say that. Steph Curry is probably the most egoless player in the league. He's definitely, like, probably out of all of the All-Stars and MVPs that the league's ever had, one of the most humble, up there with, like, Tim Duncan, I'd say. So I think moving from that to Kyrie and James Harden, quite the switch there. And also he had, like, Klay Thompson there, the only person he was really butting heads with was Draymond Green, and at that point, if you're the Warriors, you would trade Draymond Green to keep KD.
And here's the thing, though. Do you think, obviously, you know, as you said, the Warriors had a lot of players who were very humble, you know, not too many egos on that Warriors team, if any, besides Draymond Green. Draymond Green butting heads with KD, you know, obviously a little bit of tension between the players during that time, from what we hear, obviously, you know, a lot of times the media just builds things up.
Yeah.
And it's false. But with KD leaving, that may be true. I don't know. We'll just say it is. So we'll say Draymond Green and KD, you know, going at each other, and KD leaves. Even though Steph Curry over here, very, 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 very humble player, no ego whatsoever, great player to play with, probably a great guy to be around. Klay Thompson, another player who doesn't have a huge ego. He just sits in the corner, sits on the wings, and shoots three-pointers all day. You know, and so you need Draymond Green, who a bit of a talker, talks a lot, you know. Everyone has Draymond Green.
With everybody else being as quiet as they are,
yeah,
or at least as much of like silent leaders as they are, you want the dude who's going to go out there and who's going to yell at somebody, and you want the dude who's going to talk a little trash.
Yeah, you do. You always want the player that's going to use his voice compared to the other players who don't talk too much.
Yeah.
But with that going, since he talks so much, he creates a bit of drama between him and Kevin Durant. And is that the reason Kevin Durant leaves? Do you think that perhaps with the drama between James Harden and Kyrie who talk, that could force KD to leave, just as Draymond, perhaps, not saying that was the exact reason, perhaps left the Warriors? And
yeah.
I mean, with James Harden and Kyrie perhaps knowing that, you know, could they set their egos aside and for the sake of the team and to keep KD there in Brooklyn?
So they better win a ring. All right.
They better win a ring.
You do not throw the power balance of the league off like this to lose. but I really like that so far in all the comments I've seen about this, there has not been anybody being like, wow, another super team, which either means that A, people do not believe this team will be good, or B, people have stopped caring about super teams, which is something I appreciate because super teams have always been around. It was just when LeBron joined Miami that people started to hate it. because everyone hates everything LeBron does. But yeah, I mean, we're in the middle of the player empowerment era. I think that this right now is going to be a phase that the league go through for maybe the next decade or so, and then we're going to see it trend down, and I think that player loyalty will be valued again. But right now it is that players are being as loyal to their teams as the teams have been to the players. And for instance, Victor Oladipo, who has said multiple times that he loves Indiana, has there's been so many rumors that he wants to leave, probably started by Heat fans. And he's said, no, I love Indiana. I want to stay here. I want to stay in Indiana. He went to college here. He's been playing so good this season. And then we trade him. Like, come on. Like, what do you expect from the players then? If you're willing to cut them off that quick, you act like they're not going to be the ones to say, you know what, get me out of here. So, I mean, that's it seems as if James Harden didn't like the way the Rockets were treating him. Although, they did, like, drop everything to make do whatever he wanted so often.
Yeah,
but
they did.
But, hey, I mean, good for James.
I mean,
and good for KD and Kyrie. If they want to put their power together and try to win a championship and they do it, then they did a good job.
And the other thing I want to say is James Harden, on his preferred destination list, the Nets were on there.
Yeah.
He knows the Nets. I mean, he's not like, oh, yeah, I want to go to the Nets. Wait, he gets to the Nets. Oh, wait, they have KD and Kyrie? He obviously knows they have KD and Kyrie. So he knows what's going on with Kyrie. Well, yeah, he's not just going to show up and be like, whoa, what the heck? You know, KD and Kyrie are on this team? Like, you know, so he knows how KD is. He knows he's played with KD before. I'm sure he's still friends with KD from that time in OKC. He obviously knows about Kyrie Irving and the situation going on with Kyrie Irving and, you know, however Kyrie's doing. Going with all that.
And he still wants to play
and
with him.
Yeah, and he still wants to go there and he still wants to play with him. So he must have, he must be willing to put away his ego and be knowing he can get along with those teammates and that organization.
And also, like, come on, they're in a group chat.
Yeah.
Let's they have each other's numbers.
Yeah, they have to.
he was like, yo, I'm gonna try to join you guys, tell your GM to get rid of LeVert.
There's no way you have to think about this. There's no way big superstars are just like, I want to go to that team.
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere. There has to be some
obvious. So although James Harden does have a pretty big ego, he's shown that before to us, at least according to the media, which also I will say that James Harden has made his, and Kyrie Irving has as well, his stance on the media known, and that they kind of misconstrue a lot of things they say. I will not stand on either the media's side or his side because, let's be honest, right now we're kind of being the media.
Yeah,
we are. So let's just say that James Harden, there might be some stuff that we've heard about him that isn't true. There might be some stuff that he has done that we haven't heard about. And it's going to be really interesting to see how the three of them fit together. I'm going to be watching a lot more Nets games than I was.
I am very interested because I don't want to sit here and say that it's going to work or it's not going to work. Or I don't want to sit here and bash Kyrie Irving and or bash James Harden just because of stuff I've seen.
I kind of do.
I mean, you kind of do. But I don't want to sit here and bash them because of stuff I saw on SportsCenter.
Yeah.
Or just because stuff I heard from a dude who was doing a press conference. You know what I mean? Or you know, stuff like that. Or from other players. Like, I don't want to sit here and say that because you never know if it's 100% true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even though, like, for example, SportsCenter very, you know, high regards to SportsCenter because pretty trustworthy source. You never know if everything is 100% true about what is being said about a specific player or what situation that player may be in that, you know, caused something to happen. So, you know, I don't want to sit here and bash players because that's, you know.
Speaking of bashing players, Kyrie Irving. Let's, I know that you just said you don't want to bash players, but let's talk about something dumb that Kyrie did recently. He didn't show up for, what was it, about 2 weeks, still yet to appear. He's missed like three or four games in a row now where it's just been KD having to play. And there was footage that appeared of Kyrie Irving at a birthday party of his sister's. There was a DJ in the background. Sounded like there was quite a few people there, not a mask in sight. Gavin, how could this be hurting team morale right now? How's the team seeing? How's the team feeling as they see that?
Well, I mean, obviously it can hurt team morale. It probably doesn't, you know, make players feel too good that Kyrie Irving is out at birthday parties without masks, you know, in large groups. I mean, who knows? He comes down with Corona. Who knows how long he's, you know, has to quarantine. Misses another at least 2 weeks due to that. Yeah. Assuming, you know, obviously that hasn't happened, you know, yet. But we don't know. I don't know if Kyrie's taking a test yet or not. Or I don't know what's happened.
Yeah.
So that could happen. It's another 2 weeks. It's basically, what, another month that Kyrie's not going to play basketball. And even though Kyrie's that player that can, you know, take off 2 weeks, take off another month, and go and drop 26 points.
Yeah.
I mean, even though he
could show up just in the playoffs in the finals game 7 and still drop a 40.
Yeah, I mean,
he can miss this whole season.
Yeah, like Kyrie's the player that can easily do that, just like James Harden's the player that can do that. It doesn't make it right to
just abandon your team. We've just seen the same thing with James Harden. James Harden supposedly out at the club, not with the team, and DeMarcus Cousins had a lot to say on this. I highly recommend you watch that post-game interview that he did. I believe that was last night, maybe the night before, where he was like, you know what? I'm not the only player on this team to have beef with James Harden right now. We have 14 people on this roster that are working the A-word off, and James Harden's not here. James Harden's not coming to practice. He's not working. And, I mean, can you say that that's... So, let's just say you're at work, right? And then every day your manager doesn't show up. And then your manager's just like, God, you guys don't work hard enough. I'm leaving. What? What'd you say? Like, that's not gonna work, you know?
Yeah.
Same thing, Kyrie Irving, one of the better players on the team. And he has a reputation for kind of just leaving out of nowhere. He has a reputation for just doing whatever he wants. We haven't even gotten into the coaching. But, so... Kyrie Irving kind of has a reputation as a wild card. A dude that'll just, like, up and leave sometimes. I'm pretty sure, wasn't it when he was on the Celtics that there was a time where he did just disappear for, like, a month?
I think it was.
I might be misremembering, but I'm pretty sure that there was a time where Kyrie Irving... So I see all the time people will be like, you're a millionaire, you're not oppressed about NBA players. And I will say that that's not true. Kyrie Irving is a very real person with very real issues, but birthday parties aren't issues. And you get paid millions of dollars to play NBA basketball, and your sister's birthday party should not be the most important. Like, you can still go do that, I guess. Right now you shouldn't. But you shouldn't just abandon your team for that, is all I'm going to say. Alex Caruso missed his sister's wedding to be in the bubble. Fun fact.
I remember that.
Yeah. I don't know. Just something about it. If I was his teammate, it'd be rubbing me the wrong way.
Yeah, and there's multiple ways to look at it. You know, multiple things players just disappearing. And
people are saying, like, yeah, family time's important. And, like, yeah, it is. But also, everybody else in the world's having to deal with less family time right now.
Yeah. Also, about Kyrie's drama, Stephen A. Smith said that Kyrie Irving should just retire. Which, no, Kyrie Irving should not just retire.
All right. Stephen A. Smith, he was goofing, right? But at the same time, I do see his frustration. I mean, like, come on, Kyrie.
I mean, yeah, I see Stephen A. I see, you know, all of it, but retire. Retiring from the NBA. Yeah.
Come on, Stephen, and also come on, Kyrie.
Retire. Retire from the NBA.
Stephen, retire from the booth.
Like, does that mean James Harden should retire? Like, you know, like, does that mean Kawhi should retire? Because Kawhi never plays. He played. Fun fact: Kawhi played his first back-to-back, and how many seasons was it?
Four.
Since he played on the Spurs.
Kyrie fell down on the ground, and like was grabbing his ankle, and it looked serious.
Oh, yeah,
it looked like he was really hurt, and then he just hopped back up and ran down the court.
I remember that.
I watched that. I was watching that game, and I was like, "My God, Kawhi, why would you scare me like that?" When that happened, I went, "No!" Like, I said out. I went, "No!"
Like, yeah, Kawhi. If you guys can see it, Kawhi. Like, I don't know if he went for a layup or what it was, but he like, I guess landed on his ankle in quotation marks. He kind of went on the floor, laid on the floor, grabbed his ankle, then just got up out of nowhere as the center was giving the point guard the ball to bring it up, and he just turned around and started jogging backwards like he was a robot or something.
God, it scared me. It was crazy. So bad.
He looked like a robot.
It scared me so bad. All right, and then last thing I'm going to say is that people say that Kyrie might have left because he does not like the coaching decisions Steve Nash has been making. I do not have any positive or negative confirmation of that, so that's all that I'm going to say on that.
Also, one more thing I want to go over. One more, you know, maybe not one more thing, but
the Nets special.
Something I have to go over is, of course, we do this. I'm going to make this a thing where we do this every single show, every single Thursday. We go over Paul George's stats because Paul George has been amazing this season. Paul George, I'm just going to go over it real fast, going all the way back from December 27th to...
He's been shooting pretty January, good, right?
To January 13th. Paul George, 15 points in his first game. Yeah. They lost by like 57 points in that game or something like that. That was against Dallas. Minnesota, 18. But here, we have 23 points, 25 points, 39 points. He didn't play the game. Then 21, 25, 28, 27. Now, going off, he... we'll start from the 23, 8 for 15. You know, that's not bad. 6 for 22 is pretty bad, but 25 points. 39 points on 15 for 24 shooting, 21, 5 for 15, 25, 9 for 13, 28, 8 for 19, 27, 8 for 16. Paul George is shooting 50% from the field right now. He has had multiple games on his 3-point percentage, which has been very good, very, like, 5 for 7 from the 3-point line, multiple games. Paul George has been playing very good.
Yeah.
And right now, I would even say Paul George is playing better than Kawhi.
I mean, those are some numbers.
I genuinely think that right now, Paul George is averaging 25 points per game right now.
Those are some numbers.
Like, I don't know. I've seen Paul George has been going crazy. You remember that game against LA, the Lakers they played? Yeah. That game, Paul George went insane in that fourth quarter.
Yeah. I'm trying to find it right now. There's a statistic that I saw the other day that he's like way above the league in like shooting efficiency.
Paul George has been shooting the ball very, very, very well.
You know what? I'm the biggest fan of Paul George slander in the world. I do it all the time. I write Paul George jokes for fun when I'm alone because I just think that his misfortune is hilarious to me, but he's been doing pretty dang good.
Paul George has been on fire. I kind of want to compare his stats to Kawhi's stats really fast.
He's been the reason the Clippers are that 2 seed in the West right now, 8-4.
Let's see.
He's been doing pretty dang good.
25-6-6, 50% shooting. Let's see. Let's go to Kawhi stats, but Kawhi played his first back-to-back since back when he was in San Antonio. Insane.
Good for him, man.
First back-to-back game. Absolutely insane.
Yeah. Kyrie's been struggling with injury issues for a long time now, and I know that, like, he just won a championship. He's been on some really good teams lately. But I'm really glad to see that he's feeling better, but good enough to play back-to-back. That really makes me happy.
So Kawhi, of course, offensively, this isn't defensively, 25 a game on shooting 46% from the field or 47% from the field, so that's like 3 less percent. And what PG is currently shooting averages about a rebound and a half less and an assist and a half less.
Yeah.
So both players doing pretty good, but of course I'm biased. PG is playing better than Kawhi Leonard, and PG is also a very, very, very good defensive player, even though Steph Curry, hit that 3.
Yeah.
Face.
Yeah, Paul George is a great defender. He's been getting worse as time has gone on. He's not as good of a defender as he was in Indiana and then in his first year in OKC. He's declining a little bit on the defensive end, but his offensive production is ramped up because he's, like, I think he hit his prime and is still, like, in his prime, but on the later years of it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he has just the worst luck, huh?
I think
people will hit any shot over him with 30 seconds left.
I'm telling you right now, like, if you look at the contests on those shots, those are not good. They're very, very good contests.
He is a good defender. He just has the worst luck. Something about, like I'm confident that if Paul George and I were playing a game of 21 and it was tied 20-20, I'd hit the last shot.
I'm like, telling you right now.
Just something about looking in Paul George's eyes while you're coming up the court just makes you hit clutch threes.
I don't know what it is. All of those shots that Paul George had a contest on, they were such good contests. The one on Devin Booker, the one on Damian Lillard, the one on Steph Curry, the one that everyone shoots over.
I don't care. That's a bad shot.
It's like they're all such good contests. It's just I don't know why they always go in.
No, that's a bad shot.
Can be anyone else.
Oh, Paul. Hey, he's been doing good this season. I love to see former Pacers succeed, even though they asked to leave.
so good that even though we're only, what, like 13 games in, something like that?
Yeah, they're 12 games in.
12 games in. Even though we're only 12 games in, I've already seen Paul George on the, what is it? On the... Oh, I can't
Sports
remember.
Sports Center
name.
Top 10.
Nah, it was the honorable mention MVP.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. Sabonis has been playing out of his mind this year. He's averaging like 25-10. He's been playing really good. So, last team that I would like to do kind of a deep dive into real quick, just the Rockets. They got rid of James Harden. They brought in Victor Oladipo. So, their starting five is looking like it might be I just had it up.
We also have the Raptors.
Raptors are let me pull it up because I just closed out of it. Oh, yeah. What even do we have to say? So, John Wall at point guard, Victor Oladipo at shooting guard, and then it's either going to be Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, Christian Wood at the 3, 4, and 5, or it could be PJ Tucker, Christian Wood, DeMarcus Cousins, or Eric Gordon, Christian Wood, DeMarcus Cousins, because PJ Tucker has recently said some disparaging remarks about the team, and it seems as if he might be out soon. Seems like they're just kind of shopping house right now.
Yeah.
But PJ Tucker's a good player. Any team would be pretty lucky to have him running their 3 or 4. Last year they showed that he could run the 5 pretty reasonably. But that starting 5 has not only every player on that team can shoot. John Wall might be the worst shooting out of that starting 5. Christian Wood's not a great perimeter shooter, I don't think, but like I'm pretty sure he's willing. I haven't seen a lot of Christian Wood film. That's something I need to brush up on tonight. But that starting 5 is tough.
Very good.
That's a good.
Very, very, very good starting 5.
I mean, first of all, John Wall, Victor Oladipo, PJ Tucker, Christian Wood, DeMarcus Cousins. Who's going to score on them?
Yeah.
Who's dropping a 50-piece on them? Nobody.
I mean, the thing is, like, I wish, of course, they aren't starting DeMarcus Cousins, and I don't understand why. Is it because all the texts he's gotten there, because he got ejected twice, even though he shouldn't have been ejected twice? I don't know if you guys saw
both
those.
Those ejections were so soft.
Yeah, those
my not, God.
Like, those may, like, I remember seeing one, he, like, put his shoulder down and ran into somebody, and then after he made the shot, he went to foul, like, I don't know. Threw his arm in the air, and they ejected him for it and gave him a second tech. Like, I don't know what, I feel like if any other player did in the NBA, they would not have got a tech, but DeMarcus Cousins has a history of being tech, so they decided to throw it out
DeMarcus
there.
DeMarcus Cousins is one of my favorite players in the league, and that's something that has been happening to him throughout his entire career. I have, I'm going to come out real quick and just say it. I enjoy watching the Sacramento Kings. I think that every year for a while, they've had a pretty entertaining team. I liked DeMarcus Cousins. I took a year off after he got traded. And then they brought De'Aaron Fox in, who's one of my favorite young players in the league. I watch Kings games at about the same clip that I watch Pacers games because I really, really like watching their
teams.
I'm going
to go ahead and deem you a Kings fan now.
Please don't. I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
But Anyway, I really like DeMarcus Cousins. I like watching him play basketball. I think he's a great player. I think he's a great guy. If you look at his history throughout his entire life, he has been getting picked on by people, by referees, by people older than him, because they think that he's a bully, but he's not at all. He's just a big dude, and people are scared of him. And so that's why refs will tech him up after half a second, because they're scared of him. And because he already has the reputation of being bad with refs, just because the refs are bad with him. And I cannot name a single circumstance where he has been ejected in the last 5 years where I've been like, he deserved that. He hasn't gotten into any fights with anybody. He hasn't, like, even talked that much trash. He talks, like, a Draymond Green amount of trash, and you don't see Draymond getting ejected every 12 minutes. It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Just like Boogie said, it's ridiculous, man.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Genuine, like, I don't, I might come back next week with a little script prepared on trying to convince some of you guys otherwise about Boogie Cousins.
DeMarcus Cousins, I'm just like, I don't know what it is. I genuinely do not think he should have been ejected those two games he got ejected for. One of them was he was going to swipe at the ball, and he nipped LeBron on the face.
It like scraped his forehead barely a little bit, and they just
take him because LeBron fell on the floor and grabbed his face. LeBron basically flopped on the floor.
I will say, DeMarcus Cousins is massive. He's like 7'1", super ripped. That it had to hurt, you know?
Probably.
It was not intentional. That was not the type of foul that you eject somebody for.
Yeah.
He went and tried to swipe at the ball, and LeBron's head was leaned forward, so he accidentally got karate chopped. That's something that happens.
Yeah.
That's not a technical.
The thing is, though, like, you also have to remember, LeBron is like 6'9". He's built like a madman.
I have said this for years, and I will continue to say it until the day I die. I think LeBron James is maybe the most athletic person to ever exist. I think that nobody has been as strong as him and also as fast as him combined.
I just think, like, on that thing, if we watch it over, he barely nipped LeBron. I'm pretty sure when I watched it back, he barely touched LeBron. Even when LeBron fell, Boogie put his hand out, like, you know, are you good? You know, my bad. Yeah. Are you okay? LeBron just sat there, had his hands on his head. I don't even know if he had his hands where he got hit. He just had his hands on his head. And then Boogie looked at the ref and said, he's flopping. That's a flop. He flopped. It's literally what he said. He said something like that. And so the refs teed him up after he hit LeBron and then kicked him out the game. And LeBron just walked to the bench.
I mean, you know what? When you get hit, you're supposed to sell the contact, you know? Especially if you're as big as LeBron, somebody pushing you a little bit, even when it is a foul, it's not affecting you that much.
Yeah.
So you got to kind of like bounce off of it. So I'm not going to blame LeBron. I'm not going to blame DeMarcus. I'm going to blame the ref for falling for LeBron's trick and then also clearly not looking at what happened, because if he would have seen it, he would have seen that LeBron's forehead got touched a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I wish they would have just looked at it, because that's the only thing I hate about, like, if big, big, big name players just sell contact, it's automatically. I feel like they're right. No matter what the case is, they're automatically right. Like, you know, the refs won't even look at it.
You know that clip of Michael Jordan talking to the ref? And he's like, no, that's a foul. You got to call that next time. And the ref was like, I didn't see it, but I believe you, Michael. I'll call it next time.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, and it's like Michael...
Simping for Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, especially James Harden.
Yeah.
If any big-name player sells something, then they've got to be right. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They must be right. And that's one thing I really hate. The refs don't even really look at it. They just agree with the big-name players.
By the way, you are listening to this on WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. But yeah, it's just absurd, man. I'm actually about to see how Jimmy Butler's doing, because the Heat haven't been playing good this year. People were gonna say they were gonna be the 3 seed.
Or like the 8th seed, I'm pretty sure. The 9th seed.
Jimmy Butler's averaging 15 points per game. Oh, the Heat are so bad. I despise the Heat so much. You guys are a 1 and done. Mm. It was a fluke.
The season was a fluke. They got some of Bugs, what is it called in Space Jam? Bugs, water. It's just water, but what was it called?
Bugs Special.
I don't remember what it was called.
But yeah, they are not playing good. And Heat fans are so funny. I keep seeing people who are like, Victor Oladipo's going to try to go to the Heat. And people are like, well, the only Heat fans specifically that I'm seeing, because I'm a big Dwayne Wade fan, and I do follow quite a bit of Heat fan pages specifically for the Dwayne Wade content. And people are like, we would have to get rid of a core piece to get Victor Oladipo. And it's like, yeah, that's how trades work. What do you think they're going to give you? What, you think that for Andre Iguodala, you're going to get Victor Oladipo? No, that's not how it works. I'm like, oh, we're not giving away Tyler Herro and a second round pick. Like, what do you want then? What's reasonable for you? Like, jeez.
Yeah.
I don't know. Heat fans confuse me.
Yeah, I really, you know, the Heat right now, you just said the ninth seed. I don't see the Heat. I thought maybe the Heat had a chance to come back and do really good, but now I don't know about this anymore.
Yeah, 10 games in and you guys aren't even in the play. Which, obviously, I mean, there's 60 games left because we're only doing a 72-game season this year. There's a lot of games left, but you guys were talking a lot of crap to Pacers fans. You guys were talking quite a bit, and you guys are 5 seeds behind us. I don't know.
Kind of like the Raptors. They're 2-8. Poor Raptors. I don't know what happened to the Raptors.
I'll tell you what happened to the Raptors. Kawhi Leonard left.
Hey, yeah. That's crazy. They were literally, arguably, like the best defensive team in the league last year, and now they're just...
You want to know something absolutely crazy?
What?
The Cleveland Cavaliers, who Darius Garland and Colin Sexton have been playing incredible this season. The two of them have finally made it work. They finally clicked, which is great to see. And they just brought in Jared Allen. They have a center that's going to fit the timeline. They are going to be good, and like really good in 2 years. Presuming they keep everybody injury-free, everything like that. They have the best defense in the league, number one defense in the league, and the number 30 offense in the league. And I just think that it's really funny that a team can have both of those. Soon to be replaced by the Nets.
Yeah, the Nets. That team is crazy.
But it's just... Man, Cleveland... I never thought that I'd say this again. Cleveland's been fun to watch this year.
I mean, yeah, they...
I didn't think I was going to say that since 2016.
Darius Garland, Colin Sexton, now Jared Allen. They still have Andre Drummond, Kevin Love. I think Kevin Love's hurt, but...
They're going to get rid of Andre Drummond pretty soon.
Yeah,
there's no reason to keep him there.
Can you imagine? I feel like the Nets at this point, and now they have no defense, they're probably trying to go out and get Andre Drummond.
Yeah, you and I talked about that for a second, because Andre Drummond's like an average to above average defender, which still means that he's the best defender on the Nets.
Yeah.
He also is going to get a lot of boards for you. Andre Drummond, if you look at his statistics, he might end up being the all-time rebounding leader for the league. Because he's only like 26 or 27.
He's only 26. Yeah. He seems so much older than that.
He's been in the league for like a decade already, but he's only like 27.
What?
Let's look up Andre Drummond's age.
I thought Andre Drummond seems so much older.
27. Yeah.
No, 27.
He just turned 27 too in August. So, yeah, he's going to be here for a minute.
That's crazy. He does not. He seems like he's 30 something. Yeah.
For his career, he averages 14 rebounds a game. Wow. So, like, yeah, he's that dude.
That means
on
just
the
think about that. I mean, that means if he averages 14, just think about how many 20 rebound games he's had.
Yeah,
just think about that.
Yeah,
so many.
And I mean, he plays almost every game of every season. He's pretty good at basketball. I mean, he's led the league in rebounding 4 times. He's a really good basketball
player.
He's
very good at grabbing the basketball after the shot.
Yeah.
Pretty good at that.
Hey, and when you're on the Pistons, there's a lot of missed shots to go around.
Man.
His totals for all-time rebounds. Gavin, do you want to give an estimate for his rebounding numbers all-time so far?
Like per game?
Oh, no, just overall, what his total rebounds are.
How many rebounds has he got in his entire career? I don't... Oh, holy... He averages 14 a game, and he's played, like, I don't know how many
seasons.
He's
played a lot of, he's played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like 10 seasons.
10 seasons?
I think it's 8.
Mostly
eight
played seasons, almost every game, or a lot of games.
Yeah, he does not miss a
14,
lot of games.
14, like, 1,700? 1,400?
1,300?
8,000. 8,000? I'm so off. I'm so bad at math.
Yeah, his season high, he got 1,200 one year, 1,247.
In a year?
He's that dude on the glass.
I had absolutely no clue. That's like the biggest guess of all time.
The Pacers haven't beat Andre Drummond in like 3 years. So I really think that maybe the Pacers should trade for him and just have him be our 15th man.
It's kind of, I don't know, the Pacers fans probably hate Andre Drummond though. It's like they hate Paul George.
Yeah.
They don't want, like, I still can't believe Pacers fans would not take Paul George back after Paul George was the last time you guys made it past, what, the first round, second round?
I just don't want way off P on my team.
Hey, back when he was on the Pacers, that dude.
He's going to break our backboard.
Break your back. It's going to hit the side of it again, and it's going to collapse.
Yeah.
Fall.
Knicks are the 10 seed. That's shocking. They started this season like 5-2 or something like that, and then it got a little worse. But they beat the Pacers at one point, and then they went on a little bit of a losing. They've lost 4 in a row. But, I mean, Knicks are looking, dare I say, good this year.
The Knicks?
Yeah.
Dare you Knicks. Say good? Because you better, you know, be careful when you say that, because there's a lot of games left. And
here's what I'll say.
It's Knicks.
Knicks basketball looks fun to watch. Wow. I watched Knicks games this season, one of which was the Pacers game that I was already watching, and then I went out of my way to watch another Knicks game after that, because I was like, they did pretty good. And the Knicks look like a basketball team. They look like an organized professional basketball team real players that can score points with the basketball in their hands.
Austin Rivers.
He's been playing pretty good, yeah. Julius Randle looked like an MVP candidate throughout the first 4 games. He was averaging like 35-12. It was insane. There's a lot has happened in the league. Portland is the 5 seed. People were not expecting that. Golden State is the 7 seed. Denver's been playing bad, but they're going to pick it up. Come on, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray.
Portland being the 5 seed, I remember we talked about Portland perhaps being a top 4 seed.
Yeah.
In the NBA. Like Portland, a lot of people don't look at Portland. Last year, if you guys, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, Portland last season had so many players hurt, it was unbelievable. Yeah. CJ missed a large span
CJ
of games.
CJ missed half the season.
Nurkic
missed almost the whole season. He came in just for the bubble. It's like, been...
You still have Damian Lillard. You still have...
They got... Robert Covington. They brought him in.
Mm-hmm.
They got back Rodney Hood. He was injured whole last season.
That's Carmelo. Not Whiteside.
It's a team. And you know what? For like the 7th consecutive season in the row, I'm confident in saying Damian Lillard is still the most underrated player in the league.
I think
underrated star, I'll say.
I can't believe people continue to say this day in, day out, day after day, repeatedly over and over and over again, that Russell Westbrook is better than Damian Lillard. Just stop. Stop.
There's real
saying
people
that.
In real life that I can see with my eyes that are real grown people that have watched basketball and have seen both of them play and have seen the numbers, the statistics, and still say, Russell Westbrook's better.
I know somebody who day in and day out steady believes that Russell Westbrook is better than Damian Lillard solely because Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double and has won an MVP.
You know what Damian Lillard has done? Won games.
and the same argument. What has Damian Lillard done in his career? Won Rookie of the Year. we're going to see her and act like when they play each other in a series, Damian Lillard didn't.
Damian Lillard just made him look like a 6-year-old.
Like, he threw him out the playoffs.
Yeah. What,
can you tell me the last time Russell Westbrook put Dame out the playoffs?
It never happened.
It's never happened. It's never happened. And now poor Russell Westbrook is sitting as probably, what, second to last seed in the East, third to last seed in the East, I'm pretty sure. While Dame is the fifth seed in the harder in the Western Conference.
Yeah, Damian Lillard, consistently, year after year, people say, I don't even know if Portland's a playoff team this year. And then year after year, not only does he make the playoffs last year, just barely, but not only does he make the playoffs, like four out of the last five seasons, he's been a top four seed, and every year he's gone past the first round. He's a good basketball player. He is really good at basketball. I would say that he's a top 10 player in the league easily, top mm-hmm. 2 point guard, and I know who's in front of him.
I 100% agree.
Damian Lillard is so good at basketball.
I don't understand how you could say Damian Lillard is not the second best point guard in the league. I know some people even say he's the best point guard in the league, and I don't even...
I won't comment on that, but I think there's a certain dude in Oakland.
Yeah, I think Damian Lillard and Stephen Curry are just... No, their top two is locked. It's completely locked.
Just so
there's no, there's no one else that you can say is better. No Dame slander will be tolerated here. Yeah. That's all. I don't know if there's anything else you have left to say, but...
I don't have much else, no.
I think that's... We went over quite a bit. Anything that we did miss, we will go over next Thursday, including, you know, the stuff that's going to happen during the week. Because this should be an interesting week. All right, well, I heard James Harden scheduled to make his debut against Orlando, I think.
Yeah.
Has to make sure he tests negative for Corona. And
definitely going
to
be watching that one.
Yeah. As long as he tests negative for COVID, he should be good against Orlando.
We'll be back with our normal, like, games and activities that we usually do during the regular season that we haven't gotten to do all year.
Yeah. And should be good to watch, but that's all I have to say. Brayden, appreciate that's all you have left to say. You have nothing else.
That's all I got.
Yep. Make sure you guys tune in next Thursday. We will come back and discuss anything that happens this upcoming week or anything we missed. And that's all I have to say. Thank you guys once again so much for listening. This will be up on Audio Boom, WBDG Indy. Make sure you guys check that out so you can guys come back and listen to it if you guys missed it. Or if you guys just want to go back and re-listen to it, you guys can do that. And that's all for me. Thank you guys so much. Peace.